That's take3stepsforward.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258. That's 888-366-5258.
The Jewish Hour is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or Palm. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher, smart radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a terrific show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be talking with Detroit's own Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein. A couple of weeks ago, there was a major rally in New York of Orthodox rabbis against the internet. And so we're going to discuss how should we really look at the internet? Is it the evil that they're saying it is? Well, go to rabbifinman.com. Hello, that should give you some indication. We've got lots of lovely, wonderful music drawn from the Jewish Hour CD archives. The portion of the week is the portion of Shlach. This is one of those good Bible stories. We're back to a little some Bible story over here. We got the story with the spies and the Jews not wanting to go to Israel. The whole thing. Oh, you're going to love this one. We have a really flipped out Hasidic story at the end of the hour. Don't even think about changing the station for the next hour. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The anger at the growing number of illegal immigrants from Africa to Israel has spilled into Jerusalem in an apartment arson attack. Investigators found a door in a burnt downtown apartment with "Out of the Neighborhood" scrawled on it. 10 Africans fled the apartment. At least 2 people were treated at a Jerusalem hospital for smoke inhalation and were released. A terrorist stabbed an Israeli border patrol officer at the Muslim entrance to the Cave of the Patriarchs in Hebron. Nearby soldiers opened fire on the terrorist, wounding him critically. End of attack. IAF aircraft, that's Israeli Air Force aircraft, struck 2 weapons storage sites in Gaza in response to missiles fired into Israel. This is one of those things I've never understood, and I've had all these Israeli diplomats come on and say, why, if you know where they are, do you wait for them to do something before you knock them out? Gaza terrorists fired a mortar shell at a community in southern Israel. No physical injuries were reported. 3 people were injured, 2 seriously, in an anti-Semitic attack in Lyon, France. There were 10 attackers armed with hammers and iron bars. 5 of the suspected assailants are now in police custody, including the main attacker. And some good news coming out of Europe. Dutch agricultural minister Hans Blecker signed an agreement with Jewish and Muslim religious leaders and slaughterhouses, which will prevent the ban on ritual slaughter in that country. Under the agreement, animals can continue to be ritually slaughtered as long as they lose consciousness within 40 seconds. After 40 seconds, they must be stunned, which is prohibited under both Jewish and Islam law. And since we're talking about Europe, I had a discussion with Malmo, Sweden's chief rabbi in response to Hanna Rosenthal's visit there. And he told me that, yes, things are actually better since the liaison went and talked to the mayor there. That's really wonderful news. Israel's Rafael defense system will unveil the world's smallest military missile at the annual Eurosatory Land and Air Defense and Security Exhibit in Paris this week. The mini spike, as it calls, weighs only 8.5 pounds and uses wireless communication to view and guide the missile to its target. The mini spike is less than 30 inches long and has a range of about 1 mile. In other news, an offshore energy field was discovered that may even surpass previous finds in terms of the possibility of developing commercial-grade oil. It is estimated that the field holds 1.7 trillion cubic feet of natural gas and 1.7 barrels of oil. The U.S. House of Representatives Human Rights Subcommittee heard testimony from the family of Yaakov Oestreicher, who was arrested a year ago by Bolivian police after it was alleged that he was involved with drug trafficking and money laundering. Ostreicher, a father of five from Borough Park, Brooklyn, belonged to a group that invested $25 million into growing rice in Bolivia. Archaeologists in Ramat Gan discovered a treasure trove comprising about 140 gold and silver coins, along with gold jewelry, probably hidden by a wealthy lady at the time of the impending danger during the Bar Kokhba revolt some 1,900 years ago. They had pictures of this stuff online. Some lady was wearing it. It's actually very nice jewelry. A Republican and Democrat from Florida urged Congress to act on legislation that would allow Holocaust survivors to pursue civil action against insurance companies. U.S. House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Chairwoman Representative Ilana Ross-Leitanen emphasized that the unpaid insurance policies for Holocaust survivors remains one of the starkest reminders of the devastation of Nazi Germany and those who sought to profit from the crimes of the Nazis. And finally, President Obama will honor Israeli President Shimon Peres with a White House dinner, one of those grand balls, after the president awards President Peres with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The dinner will take place on June 13th with 140 invited guests, including former presidents of the United States. And we have a correction from last week. Mrs. Finman reported that the Barnes Museum was a $20 million endeavor. It was indeed a $200 million endeavor, and that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Detroit's own Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein. How are you today, Rabbi Bergstein?
How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God we're doing very well. A couple weeks ago, there was this major rally in New York's Citi Field. That was the replacement of Shea Stadium. 60,000 rabbis of rabbinical sorts were there, all in opposition to the internet and the evils of the internet and the things that they suggested. We're going to talk about what would be sort of like kosher internet. So if you might want to maybe first describe some of the dangers that they talked about, and then let's hear what would be a normative position on the internet, Rabbi Bergstein.
Well, the internet has many positive things with it, and of course, significant amount of negativity. With two clicks, any child can be on a porn station, and I know young people who've become addicted to this. Almost all of your advertisements, almost all of your news, involves something risque, which is counter to the teachings that we like to teach our children. There's also all different kinds of information on the internet which they consider to be dangerous, very simply because the scientific community, the so-called scientific community, is very lined up against the traditional values of any religion, especially the Jewish religion, and they seem to take an enjoyment in bashing the historiosity and the authenticity of things that we find in the Torah.
Let me interrupt you just a second, Rabbi Bergstein. Keep that thought there. I noticed there was a comment made by, I don't remember his first name, his last name is Heilman. He's a professor of sociology in the city university system. And he compared the internet and the way that we view the internet similar to the way that the rabbinate views the Enlightenment movement 200 years ago. Is that a fair assessment of comparability?
No, I don't think so. I think there is legitimate cause for concern. Anybody who's a parent has to be concerned as to what the kids are saying, what the kids are doing, what they're watching. You have to be go ahead and be vigilant. That's number one. You can't just let a kid go on the internet and assume everything's going to be kosher. I don't care if the kid's got payas down to his waist.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference. If the child has an addictive personality, then he's going to become hooked to something that may be counterproductive to him. And so we have to, first of all, know about our children, be open with our children. There's the most important thing is to have communication with your kids, to know what your kids are up to, what they're doing, where their heads are at, and have an open, dialogue with them. You know, going ahead and prohibiting the internet, this is like, beating darkness away with a stick. It's ultimately not going to work. Everybody needs the internet for business. You know, that's the reality. Reality is that if you're in business, you need to be on the internet.
Sure, just look at RabbiFinman.com. Yes, indeedy.
All of us have some connection to the internet. If you're in the care of business, you're trying to go ahead and trying to bring people closer to Yiddish guys, do use the internet in myriads of ways. You type up your ideas. I have a video channel on YouTube, and a lot of people use the internet for educational purposes. To prohibit something that can be useful, and indeed which every person who's in business has to use, is the kind of thing that it's not going to work. Filters. There are filters that are kosher filters that you can put on your computers and work with your children that way. You have to mm-hmm. know exactly what is being filtered and what isn't being filtered. You have to also make sure that they can't go around the filters. Mm-hmm. But to forbid the internet is like saying, give a kid blinders, because when he walks out in the street, he may see something that will entice him. Mm-hmm. It happens. And the most important thing that we have to have is not only proper education, but a healthy attitude with our children. We have to understand our kids, and we have to explain to our kids what exactly is going to be happening. The problem that most parents have is they don't have time to spend with their children and to tell them how to deal with themselves. A kid, when he gets 12 or 13 years old, all of a sudden the emotions are and hormones are working overtime. And they don't understand why they feel the way they feel, but there are things that are happening. And the most important element in all of this is not just education with good teachers, but with communication. Mm-hmm. You have to have a dialogue. And you also have to understand your child, and your child has to begin to understand themselves. A child that doesn't understand themselves is a child that could be a victim.
Okay, I do want to talk about this a little more. I'm going to get back to this idea of understanding the children understanding themselves. The internet is a problem. When they talk about Internet Users Anonymous, which there is such a thing, I don't know exactly what they call it. They call it IA or IUA or whatever they call it. But there are
chat rooms.
Yeah, chat room anonymous, whatever. I'm talking about these self-help groups, the groups that utilize 12-step programs which do exist for people who can't force themselves away from the internet. In Judaism, I want to talk about the philosophy in Judaism of utilization over asceticism, if you don't mind, Rabbi Bergstein.
Okay. The point of it is that there was a question. I'm going to use a very famous example. The question is it better to avoid speaking altogether, because that way you won't say anything that's wrong, or to learn how to speak the proper thing? In fact, the people who advocated that people speak as little as possible. I remember people in the old shuls in Israel that were known as shoskin. They would not say anything all day long because for fear that they would say something wrong. And the general attitude about this is that those people who do that are really harming themselves. You have to learn how to utilize something properly, and you have to be taught how to utilize something properly. But you must be vigilant to this point that when you are utilizing something, you don't get trapped by it. People who have weak and addictive natures have to learn how to say no to themselves. And this is something that requires a lot of interpersonal relationship. But the most important principle here is that you can't, it's not something that can be an across-the-board prohibition on things, on something that's permitted. Just like you can't prohibit ice cream. Ice cream's got a lot of calories. Sugar is no good for you. It's going to make you violent, so on and so forth. What happens? You start saying that, doing that, the kids will take ice cream behind your back, take sugar behind your back, drink Coke behind your back. All of prohibiting something that people perceive to be neutral and people like is not a good policy. The policy has to be to teach people how to use things properly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Torah's position is that when you use things properly, you're actually transforming that into a force for good.
I understand.
Bodies are our temples. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to fast. We're supposed to be healthy and good and upstanding and functioning people. Every bodily function can be used for a holy purpose if the person is so trained.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you go ahead and you teach people your body's dirty that they run into problems. Because if they believe that it's dirty, you know what? They're going to be running to that which is most dirty. You have to go ahead and give people a healthy sense of empowerment that they're able to do, make choices, make good, healthy choices. You teach them how to make choices, teach them how to utilize things for a better purpose, and 9 out of 10 times, that's what's going to happen. By running after them, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know what happens? Everybody wants it, and they find a way of finding it, and then you really have problems. Mm-hmm. That's my position on this. I'm also open. You know, if the vast majority of the great rabbis of Israel disagree and they come to some conclusion, I guess we have to also follow suit. But that doesn't mean that there isn't another position. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that if there is going to be such a position, we'll have to look to our rabbanim, because as the Maimonides says, after the destruction of the temple, where there is no Sanhedrin, there is no high court, no community can force another community to abide by its standards. There is not going to be that universally held place of discourse until the High Court convenes in Jerusalem. As yet, that High Court has to come with Messiah, and I haven't heard about him coming yet today.
Okay.
On the news. You haven't reported it.
I didn't report it on my news yet. So anyway, let's continue over here. You have the I want to talk about the idea of the parents being examples for the children. It's very important that parents not waste time. A computer is such a time sucker. It's really just amazing. I remember when I first got my computer, the first thing I had to do was learn how to use the thing, which that took forever. And now I try to do it as a minimum amount of time on the computer, but between all the things that I do on the computer, I'm looking at probably close to 2 hours a day, which is considered among the computer user anonymous people that have already self. That's like more than four drinks. Yes. You know, like Alcoholics Anonymous says more than four drinks is a binge. So four drinks is kind of like the cutout. 2 hours a day is sort of like right there on the cusp. So I have to show vigil. And show my kids that I'm trying to show vigil and that I'm not wasting my time on the computer. So let's talk about parents as role models, Rabbi Bergstein.
Well, this is a very, very important point. We teach our children by our actual example. Criticizing kids for something that you do yourself is the worst thing you can do. If I don't go to services in the morning and I tell my kid, you got to wake up, you got to go to the service, you got to go to shul, and you don't go. So if you're going to preach level-headed use of the Internet for positive purposes, then you have to be a role model for it. We spend sometimes an inordinate amount of time with it. Because, A, it's very drawing, and we have certain sites that we like, and unless we have it, but that means we're addicted to it, just like any other addiction. And guess what? If we're addicted, we've got to become unaddicted. And we have a responsibility to show that we can be in control at all times. And if we are the role models that we're in control, we can then tell our kids that they have to be in control. I remember, somebody used to criticize me. I loved seltzer, and I love taking a full glass of seltzer. I don't want to take a half a glass. I want a whole glass of seltzer. And I was criticized by somebody who had a whole mug of seltzer twice as big as mine. And that was not a lesson that I learned. So if you're going to go ahead and tell the kid you can't take so much seltzer, you better be drinking half cups yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or else the kid's not going to learn.
Yeah, the scenario that I recall, and I use it as an example, is I was at, I think it was at the state fair, like many years ago when my kids were young, and there was a family there.
Your kids were young?
When my kids were young, yes. I haven't been to the state fair in years because there hasn't been a state fair in years. Anyway, so there's this family, and this kid was beating up on his little brother. And the father came and just like walloped the older brother and said, "We don't hit people in this family." And I just like went, "Whoa, how's that working out for you?"
Yeah, well, that's the point. When you whack the kid, you've already lost credibility saying we don't do that, because that's showing authority, and that's what the kid learns. And so too, if your independence means that you're going to be on the computer for 4 hours a day, that's what the kid is going to learn. That's the value. So, yeah, we have to learn how to moderate it, and we have to learn, and I do, and I really have to learn that. I know that I'm easily addicted to things like that because I think there's nothing wrong with it. But at the end of the day, if I want to be a teacher, if I want to go ahead and preach to people and tell people what to do, I have to be an example of what I'm preaching. And so moderation is the key. Moderation means, number one, that you're in control. You're not overwhelmed by what you're doing. Stuff like kiddie porn or porn and stuff like that, that's...
Kiddie porn's illegal.
That's like lighting a fire, whatever. Of course, it's illegal. Anything that is illicit, that is immoral, that those are stuff that a Jew is not supposed to engage in, very simply because, like lighting a fire, you don't light a small fire. Don't think there's a small fire. Small fire becomes a big fire. So you avoid that. But for those who are on the internet, for those kids, who, whatever you watch, whatever you do in chat, all those things, if you can't help but getting sucked into that, then you're addicted. You've got to learn how not to be addicted. Now, not to be addicted requires you to avoid as much as possible, because as soon as you get on, you're hooked. So you have to learn how to go against the nature of your addiction. And for the most part, you have to avoid. But for those who aren't, you know, addicted yet, you know, they can say no. Remember, balance is the sign of a healthy soul. If you enjoy something, you can drop it. It's a sign that you're healthy. If you can't drop something, if you have to go back and back for another one, like a drink, another minute on the, if you have to keep doing that, then you've got a problem, and you've got to go ahead and seek out some help. Mm-hmm. But other than that, if you are a healthy person, you can turn it on, look at the news, look at something else, look at some of your emails, and then get off. If you're like that, it's healthy, it's not going to hurt you, and it can be constructive. And in fact, when you use it for good, you're actually transforming this world into a wonderful place. And that's what I wish all of you. Make this world a better world. Help somebody out today. Do a mitzvah today. Give some charity. Help your mother. Help somebody. And you'll make the world a better world.
That's exactly the point I wanted. That's exactly the point I wanted to leave off on. And you just segued right into so beautifully. Our guest has been Rabbi Chaim Asher Bergstein, who is the Chabad rabbi, or the rabbi of Chabad House of Farmington Hills. We've been talking about the kosher internet, which is what we could be doing. If you want some kosher internet, I would suggest then you go to rabbifinman.com or check out Rabbi Bergstein's YouTube channel. And how does one access
it? Rabbi Chaim Asher.
Rabbi Chaim Moshe, and all of his wonderful insights into the Torah will pop up. I want to thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
And if you're listening to the Jewish Hour on RabbiFinman.com and you're doing some kosher internet yourself, we got some music for you. We got this CD last week and we played one piece. It's Shir Klezmer is the name of the group. The name of the CD is Ashkefard, which is an amalgam of Ashkenazi and Sephardi. Last week we played a Sephardi piece, so we're going to play an Ashkenazi piece, a Klezmer piece. This is called The Silver Wedding, and this is just for you.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-1818. Hi.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We got some more new stuff for you. This is Yehuda Glantz. Came out with a CD just this month. We're going to listen to a piece that's called Jazz Mataktek, which I think means really sweet jazz, is what the word means. Let's listen.
Thank you. this is Frank Lovasco with Lovasco Concrete Services. We specialize in driveways and patios. You can call me at 586-822-9985.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Well, we played some new stuff. Let's pull it out of the vaults now. This is one of the all-time classic schlock rock hits. This is actually one of the favorites at the Finman home, and I hope you enjoy it. It's called At the Shul.
So go right to shul when you get to school at the shul. Let's go to the shul
and dive in.
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 At the shul. If you're thrilling eight straight, someone will fix them, just wait at the shul. If you aren't in a groove, just stand and start to move at the shul.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion, which we'll be reading in the synagogue on Saturday, is the portion of Shlach, not to be confused with Shlach. Shlach means to send, which is a Hebrew word, And schlock means junk, which is a Yiddish Germanic word. No relation one to the other. The portion is in chapter 13 and following in the book of Numbers, and primarily focuses on a very famous story involving the Jews in the desert prior to the decree of wandering for 40 years. The Jews approached the land of Israel and requested of Moses, of Moshe, to send reconnaissance into the land. See how to approach it, what the terrain was like, the best way to, you know, for fortifications, these things. You know, you're going into a strange country, you don't want to get blindsided. So Moshe, being the master diplomat that he was, went back to the boss. And the Almighty said, I don't need spies. I know what's going on already, and I'm fighting your battles anyway for you, as it was, we were promised already. Already back in the book of Exodus in chapter 24, 25, where the Almighty says, I'll send the wasp in front of you to fight your battles. So the Almighty says, I don't need spies. So Moshe, being the quintessential diplomat, went back to the people and said, the Almighty suggests that we don't need spies. So the people said, you didn't explain it properly. Go back to the Almighty and explain that we do indeed need spies. So Moshe went back to the Almighty and said, the people are sending me back and they say that we do need spies. So the Almighty said, okay, you want to send spies, you send the spies, leave me out. Which should have been enough of an early warning, don't go there. So what did Moshe do? Moshe picked, it says quite clearly in the verse, men of distinction. People of favor. These are each one of these people is sort of like the viceroy or the assistant lieutenant governor. Let's call it that way. The lieutenant governor of each tribe. This is no slouch for sending over here. We're not sending wicked people. No. And what was their idea in coming back with a bad report we've spoken about in previous years? What happened is they did come back with a bad report. They said that the land is so great and awesome, and look at this large fruit that we're bringing back, and it's too strong even for God to conquer. That's the report that they came back. Which that was really their failing. They were, as messengers, given exact instructions. See how the land is in the various different places, the various different terrains, what the people are like, the cities that they live in, the produce that they have. They weren't asked to assess success. That wasn't there. That's where they overstepped their line. That's where they stopped becoming shluchim. That's where they stopped becoming messengers. And what happened is the people, it says they cried all night, and that night was Tisha B'Av with the ninth of Av, the month of Av, which the Almighty said, they cried for nothing. I'll give them what to cry about. And it's the day which is the black day on the Jewish calendar. And we'll talk about it when we get closer to Tisha B'Av, which is in beginning of August, which this year falls out that way. But there's an interesting thing that happens. The Almighty says, okay, they don't want to go to Israel. We'll make them an offer they can't refuse. They're not going to go to Israel. They're going to die in the desert. It's going to take 40 years for them to do this, but the people who don't want to go to Israel are not going to Israel. What happens as soon as the Jewish people hear this? They say in a proclamation as one person, we're ready to go up. We want to go to Israel. What happened over here? Moshe didn't do any miracles. He didn't split the sea for them at this point. He did that in previous times. He didn't have like fire and thunder and rain and whatever send from the heaven or something else. There was nothing that Moshe did. All he did was report to the people, you don't want to go? Fine. You're not going. It's a very interesting thing here. People get sucked into things. I mean, going back to like, say, the internet, we were talking about the beginning of the program. And after a person has finished getting sucked into something, when somebody has done something that they really, the bottom line is that they shouldn't have done because it was a waste of time, it was illegal, immoral, or fattening, for example, they look back at themselves and they say, I can't believe I did that. You know, there are people who have good intentions when they go to the freezer to take out the quart of ice cream and think, I'm just going to have a little bit. And then between each commercial, think I'm going to have a little bit more. And by the course of the evening, have polished off the entire quart. Nobody feels good about it. And indeed, we talk about this idea of utilization. But why did the person polish off the quart to begin with? They knew that you can't polish off a quart of ice cream in the course of an evening. It's not going to make you feel good. I says, this is the way, you might say, our minds work, if you want to call it our ego, if you want to call it the Yetzirah, our desire for the mundane and profane, our evil inclination, as it's called. It puts up like a fog around us and says there's really nothing wrong with what we're doing. And when we're in the moment, we feel, quite honestly, that there is nothing wrong with what we're doing. And then, boom, when we're done, we did it. The fog lifts and we see the collateral damage done. And we think, though, wow, what did I do? This is what happened with the people with the spies. There were all kinds of good intentions on the part of the spies. The people didn't need to get involved with all of that, all the esoteric thought that was going behind their decision not to want to go into Israel. The people were told, listen, you're going out of Egypt. You're going to get the Torah, and you're going to go to Israel and hopefully live happily ever after. What happens now is something seems to come along better. And in the moment, it seemed this is definitely a better choice than that, than what the Almighty wants of us. And it takes a little bit of screaming at you, might say, what are you doing? And who's going to scream at you? The only one who's going to scream at you, listen, you're not with your mother anymore unless you're under 16 years old. The only one who's going to scream at you is you. And you have to be, like Rabbi Bergstein said, you have to be vigilant about yourself. You have to be in control. The philosophy of every world religion and every philosophy in the world, this is a basic tenet of what makes a human, is we have brains. Use them. Use them to control ourselves. And if you could boil it down to the one thing that God expects of us, it's to control ourselves. We're not wild animals. We're human beings. This is what makes us human beings, is our ability to control ourselves and not follow every whim. And all they had in the desert was just saying, you don't want to? Okay, fine. You're not gonna. It's a really amazing thing. Because we wanted to bring this up with Robert Bergstein. The difference between utilization and overindulgence is 5 seconds. That's all it is. For 5 seconds, a person has to stop and say, what I'm about to do, am I making the world a better place? Am I making myself a better human being? Is this act that I'm doing totally and completely hedonistic and for my own self-gratification? Or am I doing this for Hashem? So if a person, that's all it takes is just 5 seconds. If a person in those 5 seconds can come up with, yeah, I'm doing this to make the world a better place. Gesunte hate, go do it. Eat that chocolate brownie. But if a person in those 5 seconds concludes, I'm not hungry, I really don't need it, it's just, it tastes good, some empty calories, then don't do it. The choice is ours. It just takes 5 seconds to holiness. And in a few seconds, we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
This is Jim Hiller. At Hiller's, we support all things Michigan, which is why we support The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. If you'd like to get in touch with me, the way to do that is by going to rabbifinman.com, R-A-B-B-I-F-I-N-M-A-N, and go to the contact page, which is in the home page over there. It's just a little thing over there. It says, contact Rabbi Finman, and you send me a letter. I send you a letter. We become best friends forever. Yes, indeedy. What else is on rabbifinman.com? You'll find archived editions of the show. You wanted to hear some more about what Rabbi Bergstein said. The Hannah Rosenthal interview is still up and will be up for, I think, for another week, maybe another two, if you want to hear her. And I think the Stillman interview about physics and Judaism, that's still up there. The archived editions of the E-Parsha and the U-Parsha, those are insights into the portion of the week, Hasidic stories, are all there. And, of course, the very important donation page. When Specs Howard recorded that request for funds 17 years ago, I'm playing that thing, same one, the Jewish Hour was sponsored mostly by sponsors. And it was sponsored in part by listeners like you. Now, 17 years later, the Jewish Hour is sponsored in part by our sponsors, but it's sponsored mostly by listeners like you. So if you haven't already in recent times, go to Rabbi Finman, click on donations, pick a number, any number, or add your own number if you got a better number. And it's all very safe. It's all PayPal. You don't like dealing with credit cards over secure lines. I understand. Send a check to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. The Hasidic story involves the Belzer Rebbe from the 1850s. His name was Rokeach. It was the name of all the Belzer Rebbes. This is the name of all the Belzer Rebbes. I'm not sure which one was around in 1850. He was towards the end of his life, and he was sick, and he needed an operation. And they went to Vienna, which was like the medical capital of the world at that time. And after much examination and preparation and soul-searching on his part, they decided, yes, they're going to do the operation. They had him. He was on the surgical table. And he kind of like looked around at the doctors that were there, and his eyes caught one doctor, and he looked at him and he said, "You're Jewish." And he said, "Yes." And he said to him, "Your name is Moshe Yitzchak, right?" Yeah, he said, "Yes." And this was a person whose name was Moshe Yitzchak. He was from the town of Linden, which is on the Poland-Germany-Prussian border over there, many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. And he had been raised in a traditional family and decided he wanted to go make himself something. And he became a big somebody and went off to Vienna and graduated top of his class and got into medical school and became a surgeon of renown, as the case may be. He said, I'm Jewish, which up till now he had changed his name, so it wasn't a Jewish name. And his doctors and friends were kind of like, as you're talking Vienna, which is right next to Germany, is like, what? And he asked him, "Do you believe in God?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Do you believe in Mashiach?" And he responded, "I believe in a concept of Mashiach, but I don't believe that there's a single person who could be a leader and instill fear and love of God in a person." When the Belzer Rebbe heard this, he gave a look at this Dr. Moshe Yitzchak, and it was such an intense stare that all the other people in the room felt something very heavy is going on. And Moshe, they saw, this Moshe, this doctor, he turned white, and then he turned red, and then he turned white again. And this went on for several minutes. And at the end, the Belzer Rebbe diverted his eyes. And then he said, I'll ask you again, Moshe, do you believe that there's a person who can instill fear and love at someone just by even a mere glance? And he said, Rebbe, which means, you know, leader, boss, I do. The operation was a success. And unfortunately, the Belzer Rebbe never made it back to Belz. He died on the road home. And one of the people who was in his presence when he died was his devout follower, Dr. Moshe Yitzchak of Linden. That's going to do it for the show. We hope you had a great time. I enjoyed myself. We hope you have a good we hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you again next week. Take care. I jump up waiting for the rain to fall. I jump up waiting for the rain to fall. I've got nothing to give, so I'll give it my all. And I jump up waiting for the rain to fall. I jump up waiting for the rain to fall. So we sit here busy with our work undone. Yeah, we sit here busy with our work undone. And we know somewhere somebody's having some fun.